Good morning. It is so great to be back with our church family here at Danville. We missed you all I missed you a little longer than Chelsea did. She came home a little earlier, I guess. But we had a wonderful, encouraging week with Jason's parents and the brethren at St. Leon. But it's always good to be back home. If you have any questions about anything that's said today, again, as usual, please let me know. Let me know if there's any issues with anything that you think we see. I don't think I see any guests with us today, but it's good to see so many from our own church family here with us. Our goal this year is to become more strong and courageous, right? And so we know as Christians our strength comes from the Lord. We have strength because the Lord is with us. And so if I want to be strong, that strength has to be in and from and through Christ Jesus. If you go over to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13, we read this last month and studied having courage in Christ. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." You know, we are engaged in a spiritual war, right? And I have a hard time reading this now and not thinking back to what Jerome said in his meeting last fall. Don't you know there's a war on, right? There's a war that we are all engaged in with Satan. And so we need real strength. We need that strength that comes from God. And God gives us this strength when we put on his armor. We can't have spiritual strength apart from the way God told us to have that strength, through his armor. And so it takes real faith in him to put that armor on. But it's worth it. It's worth it because with that armor, with the strength that comes from God, we are guaranteed victory, aren't we? We have guaranteed victory. And so, you know, when you go out in a battle, if you know you're going to win, when you engage in a battle, doesn't that give you a lot of courage? When you know the outcome, you know how things are going to turn out. And that's us. We know we're going to win as long as we're fighting on the right side. And so that gives us courage, knowing that victory is awaiting us on the other side. And so today we begin looking at this battle, and we're going to look at courageous truth. You look at verse 14, it says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." Courageous truth. We are lied to all the time. Every single one of us are. We're lied to all the time. The media lies to us. People in government lie to us, right? Religious folks lie to us. We're lied to all the time. And so in a world full of lies, a lot of times it takes courage to find the truth, and then especially to embrace the truth and apply the truth in our lives. That takes courage. Just a few examples of how we see this. Remember this? A couple years ago, 2020, there were riots across the country in various cities, and not just one, but two different major news outlets news anchors standing with burning buildings behind them, classifying these as peaceful protests. They're mostly peaceful protests with burning buildings behind them. That's ridiculous, right? That's a lie. There's nothing peaceful about riots in the streets and burning buildings and the things that were going on. You know, how many news stories have been banned from social media for being fake news? And later, once more people start to look at the facts, oh, that was actually true after all. But those in power, you know, want to hide the truth from people. And this is, you know, left, right, conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican, doesn't matter. They're all capable and they all do lie at times. Whatever is politically correct and whatever is politically expedient is treated as the truth, whether or not the facts support it or not. You know, Twitter was sold this week, right? And everybody's all up in arms, you know, about what's Elon Musk going to do and how does this have an effect on truth and censorship and disinformation. And you know, there's a big, you know, hullabaloo going on about all this. Just this week, on Thursday, Our government announced a disinformation governance board within the Department of Homeland Security. Okay, all in the name of wanting to protect truth. Meanwhile, you know, all around us, moral relativism is celebrated and taught, right? You are encouraged to just live out your truth. And whatever your truth is, that's okay as long as you don't believe in objective truth. And somehow people that don't believe in objective truth are able to find a way to believe and not find any hypocrisy to say it is objectively false to believe in objective truth. I don't get how that kind of goes together, but that's where we are. Anything and everything is okay as long as you don't believe in objective truth. And that's false if you believe in objective truth. All of this to say, we live in a world in which it is just very difficult sometimes to figure out what the truth is, to determine the truth of events going on around us, at least in regards to events of the day. Without actually seeing it, without actually being there, it's really hard sometimes to know what is true and what is a lie. Satan is attacking truth and reality on many, many different levels. On many different levels. He wants us to be confused about what is true and what is false. And some people live in a fantasy world. There are a lot of people, because we have it so good in our society, that they are allowed to get away with living in their own little fantasy world of make-believe. But Satan is not make-believe. And so if we want to defeat Satan, our very real enemy, it starts, that first piece of armor. And I don't think it's random the way the Holy Spirit, you know, delivered this armor to us. The first piece is the belt of truth. Now, I might not be able to figure out the truth of every news story, every big event going on around me, right? But I absolutely can and must figure out the truth in regards to spiritual matters. Why a belt? Why, for us, belts are a little more than kind of fashion accessories. In the armor back then, this belt was vital to holding the armor together, right? It would hold the breastplate in place. It would provide a place to hold and carry your sword so your hands could be free, you know, as you're running or whatever. So this belt is very essential to the rest of the armor. Without the belt, without truth, there's no righteousness. There's no faith. Ultimately, there's no salvation without truth. Again, for us, belts, you know, are typically fashion accessories. Maybe they hold your pants up. Some people still use them for the purpose of holding your pants up. And so for a Christian, to neglect the belt of truth, it's kind of like if you're using a belt to wear your pants, hold your pants up, and you run out and your pants fall to your ankles and you just embarrass yourself because you're tripping and falling, you know, that's kind of what we look like when we neglect the truth. We're just going to embarrass ourselves. So what is truth? What is truth? If you turn over to John 18, Pilate asks Jesus this question about what is truth, or Brother Charles read for us a few moments ago. And it's interesting because in this chapter, we see three different parties and they all have a different view of truth. They all have a different view of truth. Some think they have all the answers already. We already have the answers, like the Pharisees. And so they don't even ask the question, what is truth? They have no interest in looking any further into the truth. You go back to verse 19, with the high priest. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet. And in secret, I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me and what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said. When he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, do you answer the high priest like that? Jesus answered, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me? Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. These guys had no interest whatsoever in asking this question, what is truth? They had no interest because they thought they knew it all. They had already figured out the truth of themselves. And what they thought was all that mattered to them. They let their pride get in the way. People that do this, that don't inquire into the truth, are very prideful individuals. You know, to us, truth is based on our own traditions and bias, if I'm one of these people. You know, this is the way it's always been done before, and so that's the way it is. And that's what truth must be, because that's the way my parents did it and my grandparents did it. And that's the way we've always done it here. And so that's the truth. And you know, unfortunately, Christians can be like this sometimes, can't we? That kind of describes us if we're not being very careful, doesn't it? This is the way it's always been done. And so this must be truth. Well, where's Bible authority for that? That's the way it's always been done. When they built this building, that's the way they did it. And so that's the way it has to be done. Instead of letting our traditions and bias and instead of pretending we have all the answers, why don't we let God define truth for us? We need to let God be the one to determine truth. And unless we have book, chapter, and verse, we have to be really, really careful not to be too sure of ourselves and what we think the truth is. We got to look into His Word to make sure we know the truth. Well, so some don't even want to ask the question. They don't want to look into it at all. They're fine. They know the truth. Don't try to tell them otherwise. But there are some who just don't want to know the answer. They'll ask. So they go one little step further, but they don't want to know the answer either. And that's like Pilate, right? They act like truth is ambiguous. He asked the question, but he didn't want to stick around long enough for the answer. Look back in verse 37 and 38. We'll just read verse 38. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." He asked the question, but what does he do next? He walks away. He asked Jesus, "What is truth?" But was he interested in the answer? No. Because his next step is to walk out. Now, he was right to say there's no fault in him. But he had a lot more to learn about what truth is, didn't he? There's a lot about the truth that Pilate didn't understand, but he was okay to not understand. And you know, sometimes religious people can be like this too. We see this as humility, but it's a false sense of humility, right? There's a lot of religious people that say, you know, we're all going to the same place. You know, all roads lead to heaven, sort of idea. Doesn't matter how you get there. And so we can acknowledge sometimes that there is truth, but we feel in our false humility, we feel incapable of knowing the truth. You know, who am I to say what is true and what is not? And so we don't ever want to make a judgment on what is truth and say this is truth and this is false, because we just, you know, feel like that's not our place. And I think we believe this to be a wise, maybe even intellectual position to take. There's truth out there, but we're just not capable of discovering the truth, you know? And I think that's kind of a Romans 1:22 mentality of professing to be wise, we become fools. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Be diligent. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God." How do we do that? We become a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God wants us to know the truth. He tells us to know the truth. Find out what the truth is. We can know the truth, but we have to be willing to look for it. And so some think they have all the answers. Some don't want to know the answers. But still, there are some that know the answer. They know the truth, but they ignore it. And I think we see Peter fall in this category here. Peter, he already denied Jesus once before. Go on to verse 25 through 27 of John 18. "Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, 'You are not also one of his disciples, are you?' He denied it and said, 'I am not.' One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, 'Did I not see you in the garden with him?' Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed." Now, Peter had some more learning and more maturing to do, right? And we see evidence of that, thankfully, in Peter's life. But Peter spent time with Jesus. He spent 3 years with the Lord. He knew a lot. It was Peter back in John 6 that said of Jesus, "You have the words of eternal life," right? When everyone else left and stopped following the Lord, Peter said, where am I going to go? You have the words of eternal life. That is truth. He understood Jesus was the truth and Jesus had the truth. But we see him failing to apply the answer here. He fails to act on that. Why? Because he lacks courage. He's afraid. And there's plenty of reason to be afraid here, right? There is. He's facing a very real enemy. But his lack of courage leads him to denying the truth, ignoring the answer of what is truth. He's not learned to be courageous enough yet. And so we have to apply it, right? We have to have the courage to find the answer and live by the answer of what is truth. So what is truth? Truth is God's word. You know, the really cool thing about the book of John and the way this book lays out is when Pilate finally asked that question in John 18, as the reader, if you started back in John 1 and you read the 17 preceding chapters, John has answered this question for us throughout the entire book. He answers it over and over and over again. And so it's really cool if you go through that and you get to Pilate's question, as the reader, you know exactly what the truth is. We won't even go there. There's a lot of verses up here. We aren't going to go through all the verses. There are more we could go through than just what's listed. But go back to chapter 1, verse 14. The Word, that's Jesus, right? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word, and he is full of grace and truth. One other side note there, his grace is true. And praise the Lord for that, that his grace is part of this truth. Verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word, and that is the truth. We'll jump over to John chapter 8. John 8, familiar verses, verses 31 and 32. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, we know the truth by abiding in his word. Wait, is this just another lesson about reading the Bible, about Bible study? No, but yeah, you know, and that sometimes we can get bored with that, I think. I think, you know, the preacher just told me last week or last month that I need to read my Bible more. And we can get bored by that, thinking that's just the same thing, you know? But you know, sometimes it's boring being a soldier. Sometimes it is. We're talking about putting on armor, right? Because we're engaged in a spiritual battle against spiritual hosts of wickedness. If you ever read about a soldier's experience in war, you read some articles, go back to the Civil War or whatever war, you read about a lot of downtime. Even today, the phrase in the military is hurry up and wait, right? Hurry up and wait. There's a lot of boring downtime. The life of a soldier is filled with marching and drilling and preparation and cleaning your weapon and repetition, repetition, repetition. And then you get these moments of very intense action in battle. But a lot of it's a lot of boring downtime. And sometimes being a soldier of Christ is kind of like that. We do a lot of preparation, a lot of repetition, right? A lot of drilling. And then we have these moments of intense spiritual warfare that we are engaged in. We can't let our guard down, can we? We continue this. We read John for the umpteenth time in our life because we have to continue to be ready and prepare and be on guard for Satan's attacks. You go over to John, the 16th chapter, verses 12 through 13. He said to the apostles, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So the truth is not just found in the words in red. That's what some people think, right? It's not just found in the words in red, but it's found in the words of the apostles, and those the Holy Spirit came and delivered the truth to, recorded for us in God's scriptures. Over in the next chapter, John 17, 17, Jesus simply says to the Father, your word is truth. Your word is truth. When God speaks, that determines the truth. Right? He said, let there be light, and there was light. God's speech determines truth. And then you get over to John 18. Pilate finally asks this question. And again, as a reader, we should be very familiar with the answer already. When he says, what is truth? Go back to what Jesus said right before in verse 37. Kind of prompted this question. You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born. And for this cause I have come into the world. What cause is that, Jesus? That I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. One of the purposes for Jesus coming to this earth was to bear witness, to share the truth with all mankind. And so what are the implications of this? Because the truth is God's word, what does that mean? What does that mean for you and me that God's word is the truth? If you go back to John 12, John 12, verses 48 through 50. Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my words, does not receive the truth, has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. I have to obey the truth of God's word if I'm going to have everlasting life. I have to go and find the truth. I can't be ambiguous about it. I can't pretend that the truth is just too much for me to bear, right? And it's just unfindable and we're not able to know it. So when I find the truth, if I want everlasting life, I have to have the courage to obey the truth. And that can be hard sometimes because truth is countercultural. Truth is countercultural. Have you noticed that? I don't think it's too difficult to realize. Over in Galatians 4:16, Paul asked the Galatians, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And you know, the sad answer to that is sometimes yes. Sometimes you will become somebody's enemy because you tell them the truth. That is why it takes courage. But even though truth is countercultural, even though it's not popular, we have no choice, beloved. We have no choice but to walk in the truth, to practice the truth every single day. If you go over to 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 and 7. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, if we want to be with the Lord, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It's not enough to believe the truth. I have to practice the truth. I have to walk in the truth every day. Go over to the book of 3 John. 3 John in verse 4. 3 John in verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. What did he say there? It's not enough to just know the truth, is it? John did not say, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children know the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children read the Bible every day. It's not what he said, is it? Now, those two are prerequisites. Those are necessary. But what did he say? He has no greater joy than to hear that his children walk in the truth. They know it, they read it, but they do it, more importantly. They actually do it. They don't ignore it. Right? They ask the question, they answer the question, and they live by the answer of what is truth. We have to live according to that truth. Go over, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2. The New Testament's very clear about the battle we face, right? Very, very clear. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3, Paul writes, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's no other way about it. We have to endure the hardship that comes with being a good soldier of Christ. Because we're a soldier, that's why God gave us armor. You want strength to get through the battles of life? You better put on the armor. You go over to chapter 3, verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Again, that's just part of it. But how do we overcome that persecution, right? How do we get through those battles? Continue in verse 13 through 15. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. How do people deceive? With lies, right? With dishonesty. They deceive. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Yes, truth is countercultural. It's not popular, but truth is able to make you wise for salvation. Timothy was able to learn it. He started learning it in childhood. It's never too early. It's never too early to start learning this. And you know what he finds from this? He finds assurance, right? He said, you have been assured of this. We can have assurance from God's word. And we need that assurance, beloved, because some truths are so countercultural, many are starting to classify it as hate speech. Many truths are starting to be classified as hate speech. And we have to be ready. Because I hope not. There might come a day, because this day exists in some countries right now, on May 1st, 2022. In some countries, some hate speech is illegal, and there are consequences for it. And that day may come in this country where speaking the truth about certain things will face consequences that we will have to go through. There's no, perhaps no more glaring example than all the transgender ideology stuff going on about us, right? That has spread like a violent cancer through our society. And is starting with the young, malleable minds around us on many different fronts. Politicians, professors, doctors, even elementary school teachers who are telling people that a woman can be a man if she feels like a man, and a man can be a woman if he feels like a woman. And again, that's being taught to kids who still think they become a pirate when they dress up like a pirate. But when you ask these individuals a very simple question, what is a woman? What is a woman? These folks that say a man can be a woman and a woman can be, they can't answer that question. They won't answer that question. Okay. Now whether it's because they're not interested in the truth or because they ignore the truth or you know, whatever, they can't answer that question. And there's, some people have gone around and asked very smart people, powerful people, that question, what is a woman? And they refuse to answer it. And so if a person cannot answer what is a woman, does it surprise us that they can't begin to answer what is truth? That's the society we live in. We live in a society that refuses to acknowledge truth. And refuses it more and more each passing day, it seems like. It's a part of society's war on reality, I guess. And the problem is, the more Satan can confuse people about basic fundamental truths, in life, like 2 + 2 = 4, right? And what a man and a woman is, it doesn't get much more basic than that. The more Satan can confuse people about that, the less likely people are to obey the truth of God's word. And so we need to come to grips with the fact that truth is just not popular, that it's countercultural, and just embrace it. Embrace living a countercultural lifestyle. Sometimes I trick myself into believing that if I have the truth on my side, and if I just, you know, explain the truth to someone, then they're going to agree with me, right? I mean, you can't argue with the truth. And that's just not the way it works. If they argued with Jesus, if they killed Jesus for coming to bear witness of the truth, why do I expect they're going to treat me much better and embrace the truth when I share it? It takes courage to live counter to the culture. However, truth is also protection. It's protective. Because the truth protects us from Satan's lies. Go back over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, please. Verse 43. It says, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word." What's he talking about? My speech, my word. It's truth. God's word is truth, right? That's what Jesus came to bear witness of is the truth. Why do you not understand the truth? Is what he's asking here. He continues in verse 44 through 47. He says, "You are of your father, the devil." Those are harsh words. Not words I'm not sure I would feel comfortable telling somebody, but that's what Jesus says. "You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. It does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me? Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God." Satan lies to us. He's lied from the very beginning. We should expect Satan to lie to us. Expect it every day. And so he's just throwing as many lies at us in society as he can right now, trying to get us to detach ourselves from truth. He doesn't have to get us to detach ourselves from spiritual truths right away, right? If he can get you to detach yourself from other truths about a man and a woman and things like that, you know, societal things, it's going to be a lot easier to detach you from God's word. But, you know, I think about that, and I think Satan's never lied to me directly. I've never seen Satan in the same room as me. He's never called me on the phone. He's never sent me an email, you know, telling me a lie. You know, I never had that serpent crawl up to me and start telling me to do something contrary to God's word, like he spoke to Eve in the garden. So how does he really lie to me? The honest truth is he lies to us through other people. He uses other people to lie to us, and so we have to be on guard. Some people lie to us on purpose. You know that? Some people lie to us on purpose for a number of reasons. Maybe it's selfishness. Maybe it's pride. Maybe they're angry at us for some reason. It doesn't matter why. But you're going to be lied to on purpose. You are. People you know, people you love perhaps, people on TV, people in positions of power. Some people lie to you on accident. Some lie to you on accident. And it could be for the same reasons, right? Maybe it's just personal bias. Maybe it's ignorance. Maybe it's laziness. Maybe it's pride and just thinking that they're right all the time. And, you know, they might not be thinking it's a lie, but Apollos is kind of an example of that. He was preaching things that were not true. Counts as a lie. With no ill will, no ill intention, and with some teaching, he got corrected on that and you know, went on to preach the truth. I can do that sometimes. Preachers get up sometimes and say things not meaning to tell a lie, and then they have to correct it from time to time. But it doesn't matter why someone lies to you. And in religious issues, people do this for both reasons. They lie on purpose and they lie on accident all the time. All the time. Doesn't matter why they lie. It's up to us to determine the truth from God's word. Where's the book, chapter, and verse? What scripture teaches me that is true? And if you cannot prove it in scripture, we should not believe it. So regardless of the reason why we've been lied to, God's word, the truth, protects us from Satan's lies. It protects us. We can know the truth because Jesus came to give us the truth. And if that was his purpose, I believe he accomplished his purpose perfectly. We have everything we know or we need to know. Earlier in John 8, 31 through 32 again, he said, "If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What is it the truth frees us from? You ever ask that question? If the truth makes me free, free from what? Free from what? Free from Satan's lies. It makes us free from Satan's lies. The truth sets us free from sin. Because Satan's lies are there to get us to sin. And the truth protects us from that. Over in 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26, we see that as servants of the Lord, we have to be able to share the truth with people. And the reason it gives is so that they can escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. The truth sets us free from sin, from Satan's snares, and it can protect us from being ensnared again. Because if we know the truth and we hear a lie, we say, no, that doesn't quite add up. I know what God's word says. I know what the truth is about that issue. I'm not going to fall for that. So truth protects us. The last point this morning is truth is loveworthy. And yes, that is a word. I looked it up. It's loveworthy. And I think this is really important for us to take away. Go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. About a month ago in our Sunday afternoon class, we did a self-assessment of ourselves, of us as a body of believers here. And we looked at things that we felt were strengths and things we felt were weaknesses. And one of the strengths that we said we had here was a love of the truth. A love of the truth. I hope that's true. And afterwards we talked, maybe that needs a little bit more self-examination just to be sure. We say we love the truth. Do we really love the truth as we should? Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, read verses 9 through 12 with me. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth. You catch that? Those who perish. Why did they perish? Because they did not receive the love of the truth. They didn't see truth as something worthy to be loved. We have to love the truth, that they might be saved, it says. Verse 11, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. If we don't love the truth, there will be plenty in this world to delude us. There'll be plenty of lies to be subject to. I have to love the truth, not just like it, not just like the idea of truth, but I have to love the truth, no matter what the truth is, no matter if it aligns with my bias or my traditions or not, whether it's easy or not, comfortable or not. Even when telling the truth makes me someone's enemy and makes them mad at me. And so it's not just certain truths I have to love. I have to love all the truth, the whole truth, everything that truth encompasses. Some truths I'm not a big fan of. I am not a fan of the truth that if I eat chocolate chip cookies every single day, you know, as many as I want, that I'm going to put on some weight. I don't like that truth, but it's the truth. And so I have to stop myself from time to time from eating all that I want to, because I recognize what the truth is. I don't like the truth that some days are just cold and rainy. I don't like that. I wish it wasn't that way. But when I believe it's cold and rainy, I make sure to put on a jacket. Right? I live by that truth. I practice that truth. I don't like the truth that sometimes my family gets sick. I don't like that. But I'm not going to ignore their sickness, right? You're going to take care of them. You're going to practice the truth and help them with what they need. Ignoring the truth, whether I like the truth or not, does me no good. The truth is the only way that I can make the best of things. And it's for that reason I love the truth. I love the truth. Even the truths that bother me, I love the truth. And I'm going to practice it because it is the best thing for my life. So when I love the truth, I will do what I read in Ephesians 4:25 and put away lying. Any and every form, right? I will always speak truth with my neighbor, with my family, with my coworker, with my boss, with my clients, with everybody. We always speak the truth. A Christian has no business being dishonest in any way whatsoever. And sometimes we think of that as a child's lesson, I think, something we teach to the kids. And I know not to lie now, but if we do some self-reflection, we realize how easy it is to give in to dishonesty sometimes. Proverbs 8:7 says, "For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips." We're encouraged to buy the truth and do not sell it in Proverbs 23 and verse 23. The idea of buying the truth implies there's a cost. Sometimes it costs us something for being honest and truthful, but we have no compromise as children of God. Courageous truth does not compromise for any reason. One more passage over in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 52 says, "Remember the word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my misery, that your word," and remember what God's word is, it's truth, "that truth has revived me. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law." I do not turn aside from your truth, no matter how many people deride me for it. "I have remembered your judgments from of old, Lord, and comfort myself." No matter what consequences we face in this life, for demonstrating courageous truth, we can find tremendous comfort in God's word, knowing without a doubt that it's true and that it will always be true. 1 Corinthians 14:33 tells us God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. If it's confusing, that comes from Satan. God is not the author of confusion. The peace that comes from God and from his word gives us great comfort. It gives us great comfort. Satan targets our peace and our comfort with his fiery darts of delusion and deception and doubt and confusion. He's the father of lies. There's no truth in him. But we can find the courage to face him, to defeat him, only with the truth of God's word. And it'll give us victory. We have inevitable victory that gives us the courage to stand and fight. As we close, you know, it's true that God loves you. That's truth. The truth is God sent Jesus to share the truth with us. The truth is he's offered his grace to anyone who will obey him. He's offered forgiveness to anyone that is baptized, to anyone that repents. And the truth is Jesus offers eternal victory to all who love him and to all who practice the truth, who walk in the truth. And so before we close, we always want to offer an invitation to anyone that needs to get their life right with God. If you've not obeyed the truth and been added to the Lord's army, the Lord's church, the Lord's family, we invite you to make that right. If you are a child of God, but you're not practicing the truth and you need to repent, maybe you need to confess something, or maybe you just need to ask for prayers, we would encourage you to make that right. If we can help you in any way, let us know as we stand and as we sing.